Yes, Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord. Our prayer is that you are in us, Lord. We worship you tonight. We bow down before you tonight, Lord. We thank you for what you've done for us and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you guys can be seated. I don't know about you guys, but we got a pretty good worship team, I think. So. Okay. Good tonight. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1. So if you'll stand with me, please, while we read the Word of God. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from hence. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, altogether the number of names was about 120, and said, Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by thy mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that this field is called to their own language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, Let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no man live in it, and let another take his office. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all, the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us for his resurrection. And they proposed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, You, O Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Jesus by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Dear Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. Just give us an understanding of it, Lord. And tonight, fill this place with the Holy Spirit, Lord. And thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, you guys can be seated. The book of Acts is written by Luke. It could actually be Luke 2. It's just continues on where Luke left off. It's written to Theophilus there. I went into different commentaries to more know about this guy, but there were so many different things. The Bible ain't really clear on it, but he's really dear to Luke. He wrote Luke to him, and now he's writing this book of Acts to him. His name means lover of God. So, like I say, he's very dear to Luke, and he wrote these two letters to him. To me, it's kind of funny how one letter to, you know, or two letters, but to one person can affect the whole world, you know. I mean, by this one book of Acts, this book of Acts is, it's kind of like the gap between the Gospels and the Epistles. Without Acts, we wouldn't know, you know, the Holy Spirit coming in, what that's in chapter 2, and then the church. We wouldn't learn about Paul. You know, we just go from the Gospels right to Paul's epistles, basically, you know. So this kind of lines out, you know, what's going on here. So it's pretty amazing to me how it fits in right here. And it was written roughly 62 A.D. I already said the author was Luke. It's written to this dear friend of his. Or I read one commentary that said that Luke's a doctor, and at that time that doctors were like slaves. So this could have been Luke's owner. But I don't want to put something there that's not there in the Bible, you know. I mean, it's just speculation. So, you know, just take it from there. He's very important to Luke. So, but anyway, let's get on with it. Verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to you and to teach. So he's basically writing this to reaffirm to this guy what, you know, was written in Luke, you know. And same thing in Luke. He's kind of making sure that, you know, Luke's a doctor, so he's more thorough in what he's going to explain. So he's trying to fact from fiction, you know, fiction more or less. He's more thorough on what's going on in the accounts here. So in verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. So I'm going to go through some verses pretty much in these, you know, I go to a verse and go to some verses that kind of relate to that. You don't have to turn, but, you know, I wish you would. That way you know what I was saying, and that sometimes I mispronounce words, or I just want you to make sure that what I say is in the Bible, not something I'm telling you guys, you know. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 29. So Acts chapter 1, verse 2, it says that he had chosen. So who does God choose? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So, you know, God chooses the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. That's kind of interesting. I like that. Go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 3. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So when Christ went to the cross, he died, and then he went to the tomb, you know, and then he rose again on the third day. So during that time, he presented himself, you know, to different people. So let's go to Luke 24, 36 through 43. And this is just one account of, you know, Starting in verse 36, Luke chapter 24. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. So verse 36, he came in the flesh. Verse 37, they were scared, you know, like, what is this, you know? Verse 38, and he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you doubt arise in your hearts? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." So basically, Jesus is showing him his hands and his feet, you know, that I am flesh right now. You know, I'm not dead. I came back. Verse 40. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe, for joy and marveled, he said to them, Have you any food here? So Jesus asked him, all right, you know, you still don't believe me, I'll eat something for you guys, I guess. So anyway, 42. So they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and he ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And since I'm here, I'm going to go ahead and finish off this chapter in Luke here. And he opened their understanding, and they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And this is pretty important. We'll read this more when we go back to Acts. But, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So now we go back to Acts chapter 1. In verse 4, what it just said there. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me." So I want to kind of go to see what some of the promises of the Father are. So John 14, 16 and 17, please. Pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit. That's one of the promises of the Father. And go to verse 26 of the same book, John 14:26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So again, he's promising the Holy Spirit. And now go to John 15:26. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." So the Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus. So when we accept him and the Holy Spirit comes in, so we can testify of him. Okay. Now we'll go back to Acts chapter 1. I know this is a lot of flipping the pages, but I just want you guys to, if nothing else, you can know where John is or Matthew or some of the other books I'm going to. So just remember that. If you get nothing outside of this, you might know where a different book is. Verse 5, Acts chapter 1. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So, here we go again. Matthew 3:11. And this is John the Baptist, and Jared taught this Sunday in his service. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So, it's kind of neat how all this ties in here. So John the Baptist baptized with water. Jesus is going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. So, okay. Verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Verse 7. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. Okay, so here we go. Let's go to Matthew 6, 33 and 34, and then we elaborate a little bit on that. 6. Here's what Jesus said. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So he's telling them, you know, it's not your time to know, you know. I've done this so many times at work. I'll see two guys talking, maybe a boss, somebody else. I'll walk up. You know, what's going on? You know, and basically, none of your business. Get back to your job, you know. I mean, you think I would have learned that by now, but I do it over and over again, you know. I mean, I'm always, seem like I'm anxious, you know, to know what's going on, but in reality, it's not my business, you know. I have a job to do, and that's my job, is to do what I'm supposed to do, and not worry about, you know, what, you know. Are we going to shut down tomorrow? I mean, you know, it's not none of my business, you know. But I like this how, you know, we should rely on Him, you know, rely on the Lord, you know, to get us through and not worry about things, you know. But it's pretty neat how He laid it out here. That, you know, it's not for you to know the times of the season, which the Father has put in His own authority. You know, I heard people, well, when's the Lord coming back? Nobody knows. And if somebody says that, they're lying because nobody knows, you know, not even Jesus, you know, just the Father. So it amazes me that people predict, well, you know, such and such date. But how would a person know when Jesus don't even know, you know? So it's just a learning lesson, you know. Now, verse 8. That's the key verse to this whole chapter 1, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Wow, okay. So basically, he's telling them to wait. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And later on, we'll see where Peter kind of jumped the gun there. But for right now, in verse 8, I'm sorry, let me flip my notes. Let's go to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So it's kind of neat, you know, like, well, you're coming back, Lord, what are we supposed to do till then? You know, just right here, you know, we're supposed to go preach the gospel, you know, make disciples of all nations, baptizing him in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. So that's what we're supposed to be doing. I don't always do it. I fail at that bad sometimes. It says here, to Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, to the end of the earth. We're supposed to be witnesses to of him in Jerusalem. You know, I got to think about this. How does this relate to us? Jerusalem is where they're at right now, you know, and they were eyewitnesses to Jesus, and so they were probably pretty open to what was going on, you know, because they witnessed his death, his burial, his resurrection. I mean, you know, so they pretty much probably believed in what he really was. So that was, you know, a good start. So, I look at this. It says Judea, which is, you know, part of the country, and Samaria, in the end of the earth. All I could do this is like, okay, we're in Susanville, so we're a witness here in Susanville. And as we go out further in Lassen County, maybe like Litchfield, there, to the store or something, you know. But we're witnesses there, you know. And as we go further out, you know, in Samaria, so just preaching the word, you know, out, getting it out. And all these have a meaning, though, and I'll get to them. But you know, it's just, that's our commission, you know, is to go out and preach the gospel. So, and it says here, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So I looked up power in the Greek, and it's dunamis. So it's inherent power, power that's not from us, from above. It's capable and it's able. So it's a supernatural power. And then I looked up the word witness. And it, in the Greek, it's martis. It means bring to light or confirm. So we're to confirm, you know, what Jesus did in the gospel there. But it's kind of neat. As you go through the book of Acts, you'll see how this all plays out in Jerusalem. It's chapters 1 through 7, talking about Jerusalem. And then it says you go to Judea, and that's in chapters 8 and 9. And then you go to the Samaria, and that's, it was kind of, they were, well, Samaria was kind of, not Samaria, but Judea was kind of Jewish too. But when you get into Samaria, there was kind of a mixed, they weren't all Jews there, is what I'm trying to say. They were they're probably half population, you know, where they were outcasts. And you read Philip's account in chapter 8, and some of them were into bad worship, idol adultery, and some other stuff there. And then it says to the end of the earth, and that's kind of where, if you further on, that's where Paul will pick up, and it's to the Gentiles, to us, to the Gentiles. So it's just kind of neat how it's all laid out there. I know I'm not explaining it very good, but it's really interesting how it all plays out there. Now, when he had spoken these things, this verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. This here is a very important part of this scripture, that he ascended into heaven. And So I want to go to John 12:32, it's a real short verse, but just to coincide with this. And if I am lifted up from the earth, all will draw all peoples to myself. So it's just a verse that kind of confirms that if he is lifted up, all peoples to myself. So, I mean, if Jesus was here, if we were there with Jesus and we see him ascend up to heaven and seen him alive after the death, death, burial, resurrection, I don't know. I can't see how you wouldn't believe in him. I don't know. It's pretty amazing. And then verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel. Now I want to go to Luke 24:4, but these two men, I don't want to say they're the same as in Luke 24:4, but we'll go there. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And this, they're talking about the empty tomb when Mary Magdalene went in there and seen the, and they were about this. So, I don't know for sure if it's the same two men, but it kind of parallels, what's going on there. So, but I just wanted to point that out. And then, verse 11, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. That's kind of neat. So real quick, let's go to Zechariah 14:4. So remember where they're at. They're right now, they're at the Mount of Olives. And go to the Old Testament. And in that day, he's talking about when Jesus returns to the earth. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And then the Mount of Olives shall be split in two, from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. So they're talking about when Jesus returns. He's coming. He left at Mount Olivet. He's coming back to Mount. Where he left, he's going to come right back to. So maybe we got to camp out there for a while. I don't know. Hopefully he won't be here. Hopefully we'll be taken up before that. But he's going to come to get us. He ain't going to touch down then. He's just going to come and get us and go back. And then when he does come down, it's pray that we're not here. Read that in Revelation chapter 19, but we won't go there right now. Okay, verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And again, I looked up this Sabbath day journey. It's neither here nor there, but it's less than half a mile. Some say half, some say, a quarter, so they don't The Sabbath day journey is under a mile, so no big deal there. And when they had entered, verse 13, and when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simeon, the zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. It's kind of neat because, like I say, when he is, verse 9, when he went up, I think everybody that saw that believed in him. I'll go to a verse here pretty soon that maybe some of his, well, half-brothers didn't believe totally in Jesus, you know. That, they didn't really believe on who he was or who he said he was. But when they saw this, let's go to John 7:5. For even his brothers did not believe in him. So, after this, they were all in one accord. So, pretty much they agreed that Jesus, who, you know, what he said and what he, you know, they believed in him then. Verse 15 through 26. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120, and said, Men and brethren, this scripture hath to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and fallen headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so the field is called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, Let this dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it. Let another take his office. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied him, as all this time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us. One of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they proposed to Joseph called Barabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, You, O Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry you in apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, he might go to his own place. And they cast their lots, and the lots fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Okay. So this is where Peter, instead of waiting on the Lord, this is kind of what I'm getting at, because back here it says, It is not for you to know, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. They were told to wait. You know, to wait upon what's going to happen. You know, Peter here kind of jumped the gun in picking the Judas, you know, betrayed Jesus, hung himself. So Peter goes, some of the scriptures I'll go to them in the Old Testament here in a minute, but he kind of took it upon himself to feel that instead of asking God, who do you want? Peter kind of, they did pray about it, but he should have waited on the Lord more here. So anyway, let's go to verse 16, and we'll go to Psalms 41:9. And this is where he's talking about the scripture had to be filled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. So we'll go to Psalm 41:9. 41:9. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. So this is foretold, as Psalm of David foretold. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. So that's what Peter's referring to, that verse in this verse 16 here. And we go down to 17, for he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. So Judas, he was part of the ministry, but, you know, obviously, you know, he's gone. So, and 18. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle of all, and all his entrails gushed out. Let's go to Matthew 26:15. Then one of the, this is beginning 14. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest, 15, and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So, yeah, that's pretty sad right there. Verse 19. Well, I'm sorry, let's go back to 18. I jumped the gun there. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle of all his entrails, gushed out. So Judas went to the priest and said, what will you give me if I turn over Christ to you? And they said, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver. So that's basically what they bought this field with. After Jesus, you know, when Judas went out to hung himself, somehow somebody said he hung himself with his, like a girdle-like thing that might have broke, fell down, hit a rock or something. Anyway, his guts gushed out. His entrails gushed out. So that's basically what that's talking about. Verse 19, and it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that field is called to their own language, Akil Dama, that is, field of blood. So now we go to verse 20. Here's another prophecy kind of like thing. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office. So go to Psalms 69, verse 25, and it's talking about this. Verse 25. Let their dwelling place be desolate. Let no one live in their tents. So it's just a, and again, you know, I'm just trying to cross-reference, you know, some of these verses to how they were prophesied in the Old. And that's where Peter was coming from with this. Okay. Now we go down to verse 21. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went out, in and out among us. So here again, Peter's taking this, trying to choose the next apostle, if you will, on his own, instead of waiting on the Lord. And so he's got two people in mind. It's obvious these guys were with them pretty much the whole time as all this was going on. So, Verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So the two men were seeing all this going on. So Peter, supposed that they should be the apostles. But we'll see later on that maybe that wasn't the case. And they proposed too. Joseph called Barsabbas, and who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show which of these two you have chosen." So they did pray about it. They cast lots, to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with 11 apostles. Even though they prayed about it, you know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this, 25, to take part in this ministry, and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. They ended up casting lots, which... What's neat about this right here, this is the last time you hear about casting lots. This is the last time you hear about Matthias. You don't hear any more about Matthias. The Holy Spirit wasn't in this. And I'll read later on who was. And then it says Matthias, he was numbered with the 11 apostles. But I'd like to go to Acts chapter 9, verse 15. And this is why they should have waited on the Lord. But then again, it's talking about Paul here where I'm going. But Paul, he wasn't converted yet or nothing like that. But I'll read what Jesus says about Paul in 9, chapter 15. But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." So right there, Jesus has chosen Paul to be the. So it's kind of neat how, when I was reading this, that's what I'm trying to get across, is how we should wait on the Lord and not jump into things. It's like I have zero patience when, I'm kind of an anxious person, so I have a hard time waiting upon the Lord. And because of this, I've made many mistakes in career choices, my job. Instead of waiting, maybe things will change, or, the Lord's got this waiting for me. I'll just jump out there and do that instead of waiting. And I mean, he'll bless it, but I'm going to go through a trial. Instead of waiting for him and have his perfect will, instead of leaning on my own understanding, like in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, his ways ain't our ways, of course, but I can't stress enough, how we should be waiting upon the Lord. If you pray for something, he's going to answer it one way or another. It's not always the way we think. So instead of waiting, we're going to go out and, "Well, you didn't answer that, Lord, so I'm going to go do this." I don't know how long we got to wait. His time, just if you lay your, pray to him for a situation and just wait on him, And if he does say no, and then it's for the best, It's for your own will, it's best for you. So he's our Lord, and we've got to put everything in his court, He's our Savior. He came to die for us, but he's our Lord. So we should look to him in all situations and, through prayer. Anyway, so wait upon the Lord. That's what I got. I kind of want to close here in 1 Kings 8, 57 and 58. mean, the Lord's done so much in my life. I've been blessed so much. But I think how much more I could have been blessed if I would have waited on Him, you know, and not my own understanding, you know. I can't tell you how He's blessed me. I mean, everybody here's got a story how the Lord's blessed them, you know. And He's an awesome God. He loves us, you know, and He wants the best for us. We are going to have trials, you know. That's a given. You know, He never promises to, you know, but... Anyway, I'm sorry. In 1 Kings 8, 57 and 58. May the Lord our God be with us, as He was with our fathers. May He not leave us nor forsake us, that He may incline our hearts to Himself, to walk in all His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, which He commanded our fathers. Let's close. Dear our Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, You came to save us. You're our Lord. Just pray for patience for us, Lord, that we're not always willing to wait for You. But hopefully, Lord, that we will learn to wait. Wait on You, that You know what's best for us, Lord. Instead of jumping out and just doing something, just pray about it, Lord. Let us pray and wait on You. So anyway, we love You, Lord. We just commit our lives to You, Lord. Have Your will in them, and we'll give You the glory, Lord. It's nothing we do. It's all from You. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we stand with us, please, while the worship team...